This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room, and thank you, Dale, for this introduction. If you want to check out our talks, you can go to christianwarroom.com or www.christianwarroom.com, and you can just click on the talk. This talk should be talk number 65, and the first part to this talk is obviously talk number 64. So you can just go to the website, pick out the talk, just click on the play button, and there it is. Now, yesterday we were listening at Eben Thranholm. I think we've had her here in the war room a few times before. And she's talking about the crisis Europe is going through. And it's and in her view, it's a spiritual crisis. A spiritual crisis where things have gone dramatically wrong, where Europe has given up, its Christian heritage, and is now flooded with another heritage, and in this instance, it's like the Islamic heritage, which is pushed and forced upon Europe, and it's a little bit worrying. It's a little bit worrying. Some people say, and with the demographic changes, with what has been happening within Europe, with the decimation of the Christian heritage and Christian values, that Europe is going to be finished in the way it is within one generation. So the next generation might probably still sort of live their lives. The generation after that is going to be, if the tendencies goes on and if those projections are true, is going to be Islamized. Okay, in my view, it's not too much to worry about. I'm convinced that our generation, or my generation in particular, I was born when Jerusalem was taken in by the Jewish people. I'm convinced when I read the Bible that my generation is going to be the one where everything will be happening until Jesus Christ comes back. In the meantime, though, there are forces in this world who are trying to destroy the agenda God is God for the world and for these nations. And we are in the middle of a battle. I think that is the reality we have to face with. We are right in the center of a battle. There are forces in this world who are set to destroy nations, to destroy people, to destroy Christianity, to destroy Israel. Why? It's very clearly, if we destroy Israel, Jesus cannot come back to set up his throne and to liberate the Jewish people. And that has all been prophesied in the Bible, so there's a clear aim by the enemy of God, by the devil, to try and destroy whatever is there. Why destroy Christianity? I think great parts of Christianity are not a great threat to the devil anymore. I would imagine they are pretty much run by the devil. But but there's this big problem of loyal Christianity, of a Christian ethos. And there's always a danger that as long as there's a Bible around and you've got some secular, non-believing Catholic or Lutheran, and all they need to do is they just need to pick up the Bible and they need to understand what is really going on, you know, what is really giving them salvation and what will enable them to have a relationship with the living God. As soon as they realize this and they enter into this, they are lost for the enemy. And I think there's a great fear of that. So he has done his best to ridicule the Bible, to ridicule the Word of God, and to, you know, put sort of strange, crazy doctrines in the other church to try and keep him well away from the power of the gospel. And that's something we need to understand. Okay, back to Europe. We have got a big problem in Europe, and the biggest problem is the lack of spirituality. It's the lack of our Christian heritage having any impact in our lives. And what we find is there's only a minority. It's probably, when I look at Germany, I'm not quite sure where the figures are. But when I sort of look at the towns I'm familiar with, and I look at the number of strong Christians of evangelical, Bible-believing Christians, may they be charismatic, Baptist, whatever they may be, when I look at those figures, they're very small. They're probably not even 1% of the population. Maybe they are. Maybe they are 1%, 2%. If you look at others, you know, from within the established churches, people who have broken through and really know Jesus, but are still sort of caught up in institutionalized religion, the figures might be a little bit higher, but it's not the majority. It's not even a sizable minority. It's sort of a disappearing group of people. It's a very, very small group of people. And that is really shocking when you look at Germany, when you look at Europe, and it's just really, really shocking. Yeah. So it's literally just individuals here and there that have been called out and that have been added to the body of Christ, to the church, to the ecclesia. Okay, what do we need to do? There's a clear call in our lives, and this is what the war room is all about. We need to redress what is going on. We need to be a little bit aggressive as well. It's important for us to understand what the enemy is doing and why there is this lack of spirituality and where everything has gone really, really wrong. And then we've got people like Eben Thranholm who will discuss these matters. And We need to listen very carefully to what she has to say, and then maybe take some action here or there. The biggest action we can take is just pray into the situation and destroy the forces of evil that have put our nations down to its knees as far as Christianity is concerned and as far as the gospel is concerned. Okay, let's listen to Eben Thranholm.
So I think, unfortunately, I think things has to be much worse before we see that some church people will start to wake up a little bit and see that they should speak the truth and they should actually reveal what's going on and start to have the right understanding of what is compassion and what is Christian love and what is truth, which also is a concept that has been completely destroyed by the modernists. So I think Europe is in an extremely severe moral crisis. And you also see, when you look at what's going on at this campaign in America for the presidential election, there is a total moral bankruptcy in America as well. Mm-hmm. So it really reveals how bad or how low our culture has become. It's a very low point. So, the Western culture really needs to go through a deep renewal. And for me, it can only be a spiritual renewal. It will not, politics, it has completely failed. There is no politicians in the Western world that has any answers to this crisis. And many of those people who seem to be the winners are promoters of evil, and they have a spiritual agenda, and that is to crush Christianity. And you have to be aware of that. And that they are against God. They want to recreate the whole created order. For instance, this transgender movement where children now are taught that they have no sex. They can just choose their own sex. It's a complete destruction of the created order. The order that God created. So it means that they think that they can recreate the whole world in their own image. And I think it's going to fail, but you really have to be very attentive to those signs that they are actually, it's actually not a political fight, it's a spiritual fight to completely erase everything God has created and to turn your back completely on God. This is what they want to do, and we know from history that they won't succeed, but it doesn't mean that the struggle to come back to truth is not going to be a real hard struggle. I think it will be.
Yeah, so across Europe, when you talk about the de-Christianization of the West and these different issues that you see, the influx of Islamic migrants and all these things taking place, which countries do you see dealing with it better? Like, my heritage is Dutch. My dad was born in the Netherlands. My grandparents on both sides were born in the Netherlands. And we see there them basically mainstreaming suicide on demand now. Abortion's been there for a very long time, as has gay marriage, but they just announced yesterday that they're planning to make suicide available for those who, quote-unquote, are done living life. So basically, like we like we've always said, it's just suicide on demand. You've described the situation in Denmark. When you look across Europe, which countries do you think are responding best to this this juggernaut that you're describing? Are there any countries that are holding on to their traditions and holding on to their faith, or is this sort of postmodern sweep something that's across the whole continent?
I think it's very interesting to see that it is the old Eastern European countries that are most aware of what's really going on, like Hungary, that really also Orban really stressed that they wanted to strengthen the existing culture, and that's why they don't want this influx. And it's not being like racist or the hater of strangers or foreigners, but it's just a matter of, you know, trying to strengthen your own culture. Otherwise, they know it's going to collapse. I mean, the old Eastern European countries, they know what they're up against because they just left communism. They just have gained their freedom. So they know what it's all about. I mean, here for many of the younger generation in Europe, we only heard about Second World War from the history books. We have not experienced it. But you still have a lot of Eastern European people that still remember what it was like. So they know what is at stake. And I think it's also interesting to see that now it is the former communist countries that is strengthening the Christian faith and their Christian foundation, because they know without that, they are done. I mean, that's simply too weak. They're simply too weak if they don't have the Christian fundament under their culture, under the politics. And I really think that this, the weakness of Europe lies in their apostasy from the Christian faith, and this is, will be the end of us. So we can learn from the Eastern European countries that if we don't go back to our Christian roots, it's very unlikely that we will survive as a culture, because that's what they experienced through the communist time. So I think it's good that we have those countries within the EU, but unfortunately, as you see, the EU agenda is very anti-Christian too. So Hungary was threatened that they would get kicked out of the EU because that they wanted to limit the influx of migrants. So that's very sad. But this is also the spiritual confrontation here in Europe, is that, that the former Christian countries are really looked upon as something that is not wanted in the EU anymore. I don't know if you have followed this debate,
but I have. There's one other thing that I want to get back to that you mentioned earlier, just because there's a lot of conversation over here on what's going on in Russia now. For example, we know Vladimir Putin is a bit of a thug, but what that makes Russia is entirely still up to question now. You know, you might have seen Peter Hitchens' columns on why Russia is not the enemy, and he didn't understand why the West was making Russia out to be an enemy. Now, in the last just couple of days here, there's been some really strange rumblings about what's actually going on, and you've just been there. So can you tell us what's going on?
Well, first of all, I would say that everything you hear about Russia in the mainstream media is a totally it is propaganda, negative propaganda against Russia, which has nothing to do with reality in Russia. I mean, you would be amazed to see when you go to, for instance, Moscow, how dedicated people are to the Christian faith and how the churches are full of people. And it's not true that that Putin is just using Christianity for political goals. I mean, he really has understood the importance of Christianity in his culture, and he respects his people that wants Christianity to be the foundation, and also that it seems that he has gone through a personal development, because Putin is considered by Russians to be a sincere, authentic Christian. I mean, I know from inside people in monasteries and things like that, that he often goes to monasteries alone to pray. And he's really very concerned about his faith. But that's a perspective you would never hear in Western media, because they simply don't know and they have no idea and they have no interest in trying to explore what's really going on. So it means that Russia is becoming, you know, a Christian super power. And I think that's part of the reason why that the West is so angry with Russia, actually. I don't think it's so much about the politics. I think it is, again, like I said, you need to understand today's world from a spiritual perspective. And I think that all those people that wants to deconstruct and destroy the Christian today, the Christian tradition is really enraged that Russia is now building its whole society on traditional conservative Christian values. This is against the whole agenda of the liberal West. So this is where the battlefield is actually taking place. And also that was what was going on in Ukraine. I was just together with a woman who had been a fighter in eastern Ukraine. She's very Orthodox. She's German. And she said that the whole fight was about keeping the Christian Orthodox culture without any influence from this secular, godless West. This is what's all about in Ukraine. And the Western media only presents it as some kind of political fight, but it's not. It's a spiritual fight. It's a Christian fight against, anti-Christian powers. And the Russian people are very aware that they don't want the ideas from the godless West to have any influence on Russia. They want Russia to be a Christian nation. And it's very, very strong in Russia. How orthodoxy is everywhere in their society. Even people who don't even go to church, they would still be in favor of it and think that this is the right thing. And being a Christian like me, being persecuted in the West, like I think I am, at least psychologically, it's such a freedom to come to Russia and feel that this is a genuine Christian culture. You can speak freely. You would be treated really with a lot of respect, and you will be part of the really high social circles if you are a Christian, because even to the top level, to the president, people are Christians, and they're working to build a Christian culture. So you think you're in a kind of fantasy land when you come from the West. So I always say that now we have the reverse situation. You know, when I was a child, there were dissidents coming from the Soviet to the West to feel freedom to think and write and freedom. Now it's the opposite way, at least for Christians. Now we need to go to Russia to have the freedom to practice our traditional Christian faith in freedom. So you, as a Christian, you feel you have much more freedom of speech and freedom to practice your faith in Russia than in the West. And if anybody had told me that when I was growing up in Scandinavia, where I was extremely afraid of Russia and, you know, nuclear weapons and invasion from Russia, which was likely to happen for people in Scandinavia, if anybody had told me at that time that in 30 years you would stand on the Red Square and you will feel much more free as a Christian than you do here in Denmark, I would not have believed those people. I would have thought they would be out of their mind. But this is what has happened in my lifetime, and this is a huge change. And I think a lot of the tensions between East and West, what kind of society do you want? Do you want to respect the law of God, the word of God? Or do you want to completely destroy everything God has taught and everything God has created? So I think this is the real fight, the real battle in our world today. It's about those people who want to build their own world and the traditional people that want to come back to the Christian tradition.
So what do you think Christians in Europe should start doing, and what do you think they should be on the lookout for? So obviously some countries are further progressed than others, but you see those sorts of things coming. What do you think they can do to prepare for that?
First of all, we need all to check ourselves about what kind of life am I living. How do I respond to God myself?
Mm-hmm.
All Christians need to ask themselves that question, because this change won't come from the hierarchy in the church. It will come from the people. It will come from the lay people. There will be a movement within the lay people that would be fed up with the hypocrisy of our leaders, their lies, and the way they don't care about the people anymore. They don't care about the people. They have a kind of intellectual agenda, which they're very thirsty for power, and the people are just considered like slaves. I mean, they don't really care about the people. They don't care about democracy. I mean, there are so many things anymore that are very undemocratic, and people have started to realize this and how the media are on the side of the people who are in power, so they don't ask the right critical questions anymore. That's why you see so many independent media that is now being established. And because people are not stupid. I mean, they want to know what is the truth. So I think there is a lot of tensions in our society for the time being, at least there are here in Scandinavia, because people are divided. There are those who believe in this new globalist world order, and the rest of the people, half-half, would want to go back to the roots. And I think many of those people are getting more and more aware that if we don't have Christianity as our fundament, we have nothing in Europe. That's where we came from. This is what was forming Europe for centuries. And if we have wasted that, we are just very fragile. We're very vulnerable. We have nothing. And the whole postmodern project has failed. And now we see a new group of people that are very religious in a way we are not used to, like the Muslims. They have a completely different set of values. And many people get, you know, very concerned about that. So I think that it probably is time for even non-Christian people, to consider what is Christian tradition. And I think I see among conservative circles an openness I haven't seen just a few years back to try to reconsider whether they should actually try to go to church and try to understand what is Christian faith, because they see that all political attempts to solve this crisis has failed. But the church in itself also has to wake up and become aware of its mission. And I think that can be something that is going to be hard, because many people in the church today have a false idea of what is love for your neighbor, love for the stranger. Because Christianity has become politicized in Europe. It means that you can only be a Christian or considered a Christian if you are for the open borders. If you agree that we should just accept all the refugees, all the foreigners, otherwise you are labeled as an evil person, a bad person. So the church has become very politicized. It's not anymore considered Christian to protect your family, protect your country, protect your nation, like it used to be. And I normally say, why is it that my neighbor is always a stranger coming from a different country, a person I don't know, whereas my children, the next generation, people that are my actual neighbors, I really don't care about them. I just want to show that I'm a globalist, I'm an open person, I can live with all sorts of culture. This is now what is considered to be Christian. And I think the old Christian understanding of that you need to protect your life, you need to love yourself so much that you will protect your life, your family, your children, people among you, and your nation, that has been completely lost. And that's very dangerous, because Europe is committing suicide, and that's not Christian. I mean, to commit suicide is actually a sin. So we are committing a huge sin to have this kind of politicized Christianity. So we need to really, really understand that we are on the wrong track when it comes to what is Christianity. And I think that is something that is it can be extremely difficult, because there will be a fight even within the church for what is the mission of the church. But I think that there are some kind of awakening going on within the Christian churches, that if we don't act, there will be no more Christian churches in Europe. And I think this will make people understand that you need to probably change some of your views if you want to survive.
So one final question for now, I'm sure we'll talk again. What have you been working on lately, and where can our listeners find your work?
Well, they can always find me on Facebook. But right now I'm working to establish a video blog in English, actually.
Okay.
And I'm also doing some research for a book, which is about how, like I was trying to explain here, that the whole crisis in Europe, the problem with migrants and with terrorists and Islamism, all comes down to the fact that it is a spiritual battle, and not a political battle. And this is very important to understand, also to need, also if you want to know how to act. So I'm working on that to try to give that message to the Western culture that, that we are in a spiritual battle, we're not in a, in a, in a political battle. And also how that Christianity has been, sort of, has changed it has been changed, in the sense that now it has become politicized. And if you don't have the right political opinions, you're not considered to be a Christian. I think that's very, very dangerous. And we have to come back to a kind of Christian protection of our own culture, which is not un-Christian to protect your life. That's not un-Christian. And if we don't do that, I don't think there will be a Europe in the future, at least not a Christian Europe.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jonathan van Maren from Bridgehead Radio, and Iben Thranholm from Denmark. very big challenge. As we just heard, like, you know, if this carries on, there will be no Euro. But, you know, we cannot just stand still. Yeah? There are a couple of aspects here. And number one is, I think one thing we have to do as a church is we have to reach out to the Muslims which have come to Europe. There's a great opportunity. Very often things are meant for bad, but as we rise up in prayer and in the power of God, things can be turned around and they can be good. And my vision for this whole migrant crisis is, and again, that's Christian war room activity, that we pray into the situation, that we move into the situation, and that we reach out with the gospel. The doors into the Middle East for many of us were closed. Now they've come to the West. Let's get them with the gospel, and let's put the fear of God literally into the people in the Middle East, that when they send their kids to the West, that they fear that they will come back Christians. Yeah. And let this be the truth, and let them come back as Christians, and let them carry the gospel into their own countries. This is an opportunity. Now, we know that this is the last generation before Jesus comes back. Not the last generation. We've got the millennium coming afterwards, but it's the last generation before the return of Christ. And in my opinion, there's no doubt about this. I think, again, we can talk about this whole generation of things some other time, but I think, you know, the Lord's return is very imminent, and we need to make the most of every minute, every hour we've got left here to reach out with the gospel to a people who, you know, to a world that's gone completely crazy, that has lost the plot completely, and we need to reach out to the gospel to a people which for a good 1,000 years have been more or less unreached. The Middle East, the North Africa used to be the cradle of Christianity. Islam came, destroyed it all. It's time to get it back to where it was before Islam arrived, to return to the cradle of Christianity and to bring Christianity back to them. Okay, Lord, we just want to pray, Lord, for the lessons we have learned. We pray for Europe. We pray, Lord, that people will reach out to you once more, and that there will be a revival in Western Europe, that the cultural Marxism will be doomed to die, and that Christianity will revive. That we are not the last generation of Christians, but that we are the generation who's taking the country back. And at the same time, we are praying for the cradle of Christianity. Let it return to what it was once before. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.